One definite memory I do have is when standing by the ticket window and looking behind me, the door to the room opposite, in fact where I'm now sitting, was often open ajar, and directly opposite that there was one of the old Fry's chocolate machines, cast iron machine standing maybe 4 or 5 feet high with a great brass handle on it, and it would say Nestle's chocolate, or Nestle as they now say, chocolate, 1 penny. And presumably in the old days you'd pull the brass handle after putting your penny in and get some chocolate out. But at that time it was obviously defunct, surplus to requirements, and I'd love to know where that disappeared to. But I got the feeling, along with the chocolate machine, that it probably was just used for storage at the time. The additional building which they built on the front of the station building as a waiting room, that really was sort of full of junk, really. One of the station managers, Norman Featherstone, later used it as his sort of plant store and that sort of thing. And again, the door was just next to the door onto the platform from the booking office. And you occasionally would glance in there, but it just seemed to be full of junk, and you can't imagine actually ever waiting in there.
Okay, so can you tell me some of your memories of using Batten Ball Station?
Yes, well, as a family, we lived at Otford, and very often we would use the main line from Sevenoaks either to go up to London or to go down to the coast, particularly Folkestone. So I would pass through as a youngster, the age of perhaps five or so, you would pass through the station. And just remember, often the train used to slow down. It would be an electric train, of course, at that time. And often it would slow down as it came round the curve that the station's built on. And I would just remember looking at the station dimly lit by gaslight, as it was until 1970. And then a bit later on, when I started going to school in Sevenoaks, at first we went on the bus with my mum, and then a bit later on, I suppose because of my love for trains, I much preferred to go on the train, even though it meant a walk up St John's Hill. So both attending Bayham Road School and Wilderness later, I got the train, I think probably latterly with my brother as well, who followed me in the same schools. And we got the train to here and walked up the hill. One of the station staff that I particularly remember at that time is a chap called Paddy. His surname was Patterson. I can't offhand remember his first name. But he was an Irishman, and he had a very relaxed attitude and let us go into the booking office to stamp our own tickets on the ticket stamp machines. The Edmondson's stamp machine could nip your fingers if you weren't careful, if you didn't know how to do it properly, and I think we probably learnt how to do it. The other thing was, he also was very laissez-faire about railway safety, and he would let us, he turned a blind eye to us walking down on the sidings to the north of the station, and also onto the line the other side of the up waiting room, where they're now building an access ramp. And at that time there was still goods working in the station, although it was beginning to die out in the late 60s, so there were trucks and things about, which presumably from time to time were shunted, so potentially it was actually quite dangerous, but I think he turned a blind eye to it. The other thing which I remember, and is borne out by my enormous ticket collection from Batten Ball, is that he and other station staff never collected any tickets. So I've got probably nearly all my tickets to and from Batten Ball over my school period, and I've just got them kept in a box. They never seem to be collected at either end, and I've just got a pile of those. So that's a good keepsake to have.
Did you purchase any tickets from Batten Ball Station going the other way?
Yes. Well, initially, I bought a ticket each day, and I believe it was either, I think it was fourpence or sixpence return, single rather. And it was only later on that we got season tickets given to us courtesy of the Kent Education Committee. Yes, so my very first ticket, which was in fact in February 1966, is in fact Otford to Batten Ball, and that was threepence. That's three old pence in money. But then, yes, there are similarly other tickets, Batten Ball to Otford, which I've got. And then much later on, a season ticket in 1969, for instance, was £2.17/6, which was paid for by the Education Authority, and that would have been for a term between Otford and Batten Ball.
Okay, thank you. So you mentioned a waiting room. Was that the waiting room in the Victorian building, or?
Yes, of course, when we came to school from Otford, we just really passed through the main station building on the downside. But in the evenings, we would have waited in the waiting shelter, or as the early diagrams call it, shed, on the upside, which is the self-same one which is there today, which even since the 1960s is an amazing survivor, but the fact is that's been there since the 1870s, which is even more incredible. But I didn't know that as a school child, so yes, we did wait in there.
And the Victorian building, what are your memories of how that's changed?
I think really it's let me think about this. I think when I initially started coming here, it was a warm building because the main fire in the booking hall was actually blazing. It was an open fire, and there was always that sense of warmth. And even if you came down the approach road on a winter's day, you would come into the sort of the warmth of the fire. But of course, like all open fires, it was only warm very close to the actual fire itself. And again, I always remember this, you know, the staff being cheery. And the wooden furniture, really, in the actual station itself. For instance, there were things like wooden notice boards. There was a gas light in the middle of the booking hall, and some of the platform barrows and things were left in inside the building as well. And so it was a vast space, which somehow I always had the feeling that it must have been grander. It must have had grander purposes, and I only have discovered that later. And one definite memory I do have is when standing by the ticket window and looking behind me, the door to the room opposite, in fact where I'm now sitting, was often open ajar, and directly opposite that, there was one of the old Fry's chocolate machines, cast iron machine standing maybe 4 or 5 feet high with a great brass handle on it, and it would say Nestle's chocolate, or Nestle as they now say, chocolate, 1 penny. And presumably in the old days you'd pull the brass handle after putting your penny in and get some chocolate out. But at that time it was obviously defunct, surplus to requirements, and I'd love to know where that disappeared to. But that is a definite memory.
Okay. Do you have any memories of what the luggage room was used as?
Well, as far as I know, it really didn't have a... I didn't ever dare go in here. I suppose I should have done, really, but I got the feeling, along with the chocolate machine, that it probably was just used for storage at the time. And the same with the additional piece at the additional building which they built on the front of the station building as a waiting room, that really was sort of full of junk, really. And one of the station managers, Norman Featherstone, later used it as his sort of plant store and that sort of thing. And again, the door was just next to the door onto the platform from the booking office. And you occasionally would glance in there, but it just seemed to be full of junk, and you can't imagine actually ever waiting in there.
Okay. So you've mentioned a couple of members of staff. Can you recall how many staff worked on the station?
No, unfortunately I can't. It's difficult because obviously I confuse it with research that I've done later, and it makes me think I may have remembered it. But there was certainly always somebody in the booking office at peak times. There may have been the odd porter or two about, There was, in fact, a porter's office on the station, which is now a blocked-up doorway on the platform, and that's where the porters would have been. But I don't really have any clear memories of them, I'm afraid.
Okay. What about the types of trains you travelled on? Have you got memories?
Well, through here we had electric multiple units. I'm not very very high sort of hot on trains, but we had electric multiple units, and basically there were three trains an hour. And one memory I have got was school finished at 10 to 4, and there was one train at 4:05 in the late 60s, and if we ran and got that train, we actually got home to watch Crossroads on the television, which was at 4:20 on ITV. And if not, we had to get the 25 past train, in which case we missed most of the programme. So that was sometimes an incentive to run down here. Again, at that time, really from the late 60s, steam, I know later, finished in 1968 on the southeastern section. So I don't remember seeing steam engines here, but I may have just come at the wrong time, because I now know that most of the steam shunting would have been done in the morning, probably when I was at school.
Do you have any memories of the signal box that was here?
Yes. I did once go in there. I was always, as a youngster, being interested in railways, I tried to get into all of the signal boxes in the local area, and particularly at Otford Junction. And this signal box really, again, I know later, and I witnessed at the time, that it really wasn't open much of the time, because it was really just at that time there for goods traffic, which wasn't happening at the time I was there. But I must have seen some people working there at some stage and sort of persuaded them that I could go into it. And what am I looking for? One thing I do recall specifically is the change from gas lighting to electric lighting, and it's detailed in some photographs. But I remember in 1970, I took two photographs specifically, one of the signal box with the new lampposts and things and the new signs in front of it, and one of actually the entrance to the gents' toilet, where it showed a rather nice swan neck gas lamp. And I can remember, certainly after that process had been gone through, the station was a lot brighter and a bit less frightening for perhaps particularly women to travel on the trains. One other thing I can recall, and is witnessed by the fact that I own a Bat and Ball Totem railway sign now, and I have it on my wall, when they were re-signing, I looked down I was waiting for the train to go to Otford, and I looked down on the platform behind me, and there was this sign. And I wasn't really given to stealing things, but I was happy to pick things up that were no longer required. And so I actually put this in my school bag, and it must have been sticking out at the top, and took it home on the train. And I have it to this day. And the slightly sad thing about that is that I did a deal with my friend David at some point, probably a couple of years later, and he actually had possession of the sign. And I desperately wanted to get it back. And so probably about 10 years ago, we came to an arrangement, and it cost me, for a sign which I had for nothing, it cost me rather a lot of money to actually get the sign back, because he wanted something else which I had, and we came to an arrangement with a cash adjustment, shall we say. So that's a permanent reminder of the station as it was in those days.
Good. And do you have any other sort of memories of the like the signals and things, particular signals in this stretch of...
Not really, because I later know that the main re-signalling was done in 1962, and most of the interesting signals had actually disappeared by the time I started regularly travelling. So really, the colour light signals, which we more or less have today, were around at that time, and they were automatically controlled from Ashford, I believe. So that. Really, they weren't very interesting. Little did I know at the time, but the station was getting less and less interesting from an operational point of view. And as the sidings disappeared and the lamps were changed, the signs were changed, everything became a bit more bland and a bit more uncared for, really.
Okay. Have you got any memories of any particular events or particular days associated with the station?
Not really, no. The station really was always very unloved, and it was just a utility thing. It was just a place that you caught the train, and you got the impression that the local... dare one say it, ne'er-do-wells would come down here and try and break the windows and that sort of thing. And it really wasn't a sort of a place that you hung about. There were certainly no events here or anything like that. It was purely just a place to catch a train and a place which, looking at it at the time, it just seemed far too big. It could have been a halt or something like that. But thankfully, the station has survived largely intact.
What about numbers of passengers? How many children do you think were getting off here to go to school?
Well, quite a number. Quite a lot of the... It depends, obviously, where people went to school. A lot of the school children from Otford, say, Otford and further up the Darrant Valley, would come through the station on their way to the Tunbridge and the Tunbridge Wells schools. But quite a number from particularly Wilderness and Hatton, which was the girls' school... did use the train, so there would be a goodly number, difficult to know how many, perhaps 15, perhaps 20, really peaking around the school times. I guess probably during the middle of the day it would have been quite quiet here, really.
Is there anything else, any other memories?
Let's just see if any pictures stir my memories.
I'll just stop this for now.